Welcome to Loving People to the Cross. I'm Pastor Tom Crandall. I'm so excited that you've joined us today. I hope and pray that this word from the Lord encourages you and uplifts you in your spirit. And I hope it draws you to walk closer with Him. Remember, after the podcast, stick around for one more message from me, your host, Pastor Tom Crandall. God bless you, my friend.
Well, this will finish up the sermon series this morning with a unique, very unique topic. Why call Him Savior? You know, over the years we have dove into this very topic, and I've seen people discuss it, and very little times out of none do we see a clear description pulled out in conversation. So this morning I want to take you to Scripture. So we're going to be all over the place, kind of. So if you got a pen, a piece of paper, you might want to write these down as we go through them. But our main focus this morning, I'm going to try my best to come back to Luke chapter 19. There's one verse there that I want to pull from, but I'm going to try my best to pull from all of them a little bit. So the topic this morning of why I call Him Savior, I automatically, as I began to study that this past couple weeks over this series, and I began to read the Scripture that pulls all this together, in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, lays a foundation. And it says, "Then the angels said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings and great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Now, as we look at that Scripture and we look over to Luke 19, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek what? And to save that which was lost." And we look at those two Scriptures and we don't really think about it combining them together, but there's a lot that goes into those two. We're going to come back to those. Then we get to the promise of a Savior. We get to that promise, and in Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says this, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Again, an outline of what we're looking at. And Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, this is prophecy. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's in Isaiah. Now, when we look and we start to put all of these things together, we see a combination of three things happen throughout Scripture here. If you start with Isaiah and you go backwards, you see something very unique. Nothing changed. Nothing. Maybe some words, but I want to share something with you. The Greek Hebrew, I can't talk this morning, bear with me. Hebrew word for Savior means something so unique. To fulfill. To pull from. To reach down in the depth and change. See, when we get a Savior, there's things that occur in our lives. When you said yes to Jesus and no to the world, and if you've never said yes to Jesus and no to the world, hear me when I say this. There are things in your life that have to change. It requires change. It causes change. There will be things that you used to do that are no longer suitable to do as a Christian. There are things that you do and things that you say that are no longer suitable for a Christian. Hear me when I say this. There are things in your mind bank that have to be erased. There are things that you do every day and you don't realize it, but it's sinful. It's ungodly. It does not please the Lord. Every day, these things cross our mind. That's why we're in need of a Savior. That's why God said, it doesn't matter what you do, you're never going to get it. I'm going to send my son to die on a cross for you, so hopefully by his precious blood, you can get it. And he knew without a doubt that Jesus would be tempted at all points and still without sin. He would do all of these things, Jerome. He'd go through life, brother, and still never miss the mark. Like a lamb, he was led to slaughter. He never opened his mouth. They beat him. They ridiculed him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him. They gambled at his feet, for crying out loud. But on that third day, he arose again. And we look at that victory over death, hell, and the grave, and we find victory in Jesus. But I'm going to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, that's not the only reason we needed a Savior. We needed a Savior because we're wretched, pitiful, disgusting people. And without him, we would miss the mark every time. We needed a Savior. God said, I tell you what, I love you so much, I'm going to send my one and begotten only Son. That so whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have the everlasting life. I heard somebody say something so silly one time. They said, oh, evangelical Christians love to lean on that last part about needing, you know, believing in Jesus and he's the only way to heaven. That's ridiculous. And I was thinking in the back of my head at that very moment, this man calls himself a preacher when he's really a heretic. We needed a Savior, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody asks the question all the time. Why in the world would a loving God send somebody to hell? Let me tell you this. God does not send people to hell. People choose to go to hell.
That's right.
People choose that. Hell was not designed for us. If you die and you spend an eternity in hell, you're going as a trespasser. It is not meant for us. A lot of people are going to stand before him on that day and he's going to say, apart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Hold on, Lord. Hold on a minute now. We cast out demons in your name. We healed the sick. We did all these things in your name. Depart from me, for I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Because you come to church, hear me when I say this, because you come to church, because you listen to sermons and you listen to Christian music and you do all these things that Christians do, does not make you a Christian. I can put lettuce, and I'm going to pick on W. That's the last time I get to do this. I could get some lettuce, W, and put on your head and put some mayonnaise on the bottom of your feet and put a hamburger bun on your head and a hamburger bun on the bottom of his feet. But that does not make him a hamburger. You can disguise anything to look like something that it's not. Proof in the pudding. You ready? Jerome, this is beautiful. Beautiful reef, is it not? Now, what's under that reef is a table, is it not? But if you take all this off, it's just a table. It's a good looking table, don't get me wrong. Amen? But I'm going to tell you a secret, ladies and gentlemen. That reef doesn't hold that table up. The legs of that table hold it up. I'm saying all that to say this morning. Without Christ, nothing will hold us up. That's why we needed a Savior. We've missed opportunity after opportunity because we're too busy looking at other people's lives in order to understand that we needed a Savior. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Without Jesus, we have nothing. Paul even said, I have neither silver nor gold, but I'll give you Jesus. That should be our immediate response in crisis of any kind. I don't have much to give you, but I will give you Jesus. Last year, I was a part of a program that they distribute boxes of different foods out in local communities. And they would argue over what to put in those boxes. And they were arguing over who gets what. And I immediately, being me, said this, Mike Carter, you ready? I didn't know we got to pick who we were the hands and feet of Jesus to. Well, that's why we've done it for years. Well, the way we've done it for years, ladies and gentlemen, is not working anymore. It wasn't working then, it ain't working now. We go out with the expectation of being the hands and feet of Jesus by looking at people's lives, not the way they live, but how we can show them how to live. That's discipleship. You want to know something really amazing? Without a Savior, we would have no clue how to do none of that. Jesus, I'm going to go ahead and go back to Luke 19 because I see now I'm not going to get through all these. And I do have all these scriptures from the past couple of weeks, y'all. So if you're interested in those, email me, text me, or see me after church and I can get you a copy of them. It's really good stuff. And it's amazing. Amazing, amazing stuff. Luke 19, verse 10. It says simply this. And Jesus said unto them. I'm going to start in verse 9, then I'll go to 10. Verse 9 says, and Jesus said unto them, this day is salvation come to the house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. Verse 10 sums it up. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save which that was lost. Let me tell you something. In order for something to be lost, you've got to have no clue on where it's at. How many of you have ever set your car keys down somewhere in the house and forget what you've done with them? How many of you have done this? Well, I'm glad you called me. Do you know where I'm looking for my phone? I've been looking for it all week, and I don't know what, or all afternoon, and I cannot find it nowhere. Has anybody else done that besides me and Carrie? She ain't letting me go down alone. We've all done it. We've all done something of that nature. Man, I'll tell you what I've done the other day at work, Miss Andrea. Getting somebody to sign a court reminder. And I'm sitting there with my ink pen in my hand going, hold on a minute, let me find my pen. It wasn't in my pocket where I usually kept it because it was in my hand. He didn't come so we could find stuff. He come to save us because we're lost. And without him, there's no hope in eternity other than the hope of eternity in hell. And again, if you die and go to that place, you're going as a trespasser. We spend so much time picking and pulling apart everything little by little. And we forget that we were desperately, and still people are desperately in need of a Savior. He was not born so we can look at each other and wave. He wasn't born so we could just come to church on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and go through a routine and it eventually become a habit and never understand who he's called us to be. I'm going to preach for a minute. You ready? Because here's the thing. A lot of times in life, we don't even know who we are until we undo that Bible and we start to find our identity through Christ in that Word, because it's never changing, never ending. It's always the same. And we're learning and we're growing from it and we're taking that and we're putting it in our heart and we're storing it up, because we're not going to store up ourselves for treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. Because if you store up a bunch of junk here on earth, that's all you got is a bunch of junk. Because when you die, you can't take it with you. But if you've stored up in your heart and you've learned who he's called you to be and you have an intimate, one-on-one, personal relationship with Jesus, when you die, your hope is an eternity in glory. Over time, we have learned that we have been told as a society we really don't need church. I can watch church from my house and be just as comfortable and learn from it. Lies from the pits of hell. Because I'm going to tell you this. If you can sit at home and you can watch church from your living room and you can feel the Holy Spirit moving through a TV, You've tapped into something nobody else has. It's called insomnia. You know what that is? It's sensationalism. You see other people crying and you immediately want to cry with them. Has anybody ever done that? You get tenderhearted, you watch somebody else cry and you start crying with them. I do it all the time. I've got a bad habit of that. It's called sensationalism. It's a sensual feeling that you're in that moment and in that time with that person. If you tell me this, you can watch a movie and it will make you cry. Why does that movie make you cry? Because it jerks your brain, not your heart. I had somebody tell me one time, said, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Well, no, you don't. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but my Bible says forsake not the fellowship assembly of believers. So if you're forsaking the fellowship of the assembly of believers, you sin. Well, no, it doesn't say that. Actually, it does. If you read that in context and read it a little deeper, forsaking the fellowship assembly of believers is not a request. It's a command. He didn't come to save us so we could sit in the comfort of our homes and watch some guy that you've never met before in your entire life on TV. My father-in-law, I love that man. He's got a heart for the Lord. And he told me something one time. He said, man, he said, you know, they was talking to this guy and they was trying to invite him to church and he was giving them all these reasons on why he wasn't going to come to church. And they finally just said, you know what, that's fine. We understand. And the guy that was with them turns and looked at him and said, if you want to die and go to hell, that's your choice. And they turned around and walked off. They left. Of course, I mean, that's not worth the conversation in it, I'm sure. But the next time they went back to see that man, he gave his life to Jesus. Why? Because the gospel was preached, not an inspirational message. In order for people's lives to be changed and understand that they need a Savior, they must first hear the gospel. In order to know that they are lost, they have to understand the definition of sin. And without the gospel, we'll never understand who He has called us to be. We would clearly look at it as right and wrong, and the rest would work itself out. But the reality of that is that's far and in between nowadays. I watched something last week. Somebody had sent me a 5-6 minute clip. And I watched that clip. And that man preached I'm not even going to say he preached it. He gave the best pep talk I've ever heard. I mean, it was motivating. And he said this is a great motivational conversation to have with your friends and loved ones. He said, but pastors, if this is the way you talk from behind the pulpit for 30 minutes, you've led no one to the cross. You want to know who that pastor was that said that? And a lot of you are going to be shocked. And I've still got it, I believe, in my email. I have to dig through and find it. Billy Graham said that. It's great to give them motivational speeches before a football game or a basketball game or a sporting event. Christians do not need motivational speeches. They need the gospel. Lost people do not need motivational speeches. We need to give them Jesus, the gospel, the good news. Do you understand that the first two letters in the word gospel spell go? It is time that we understand that we not only need a Savior, but we can't live without it. It's my last point I'm fixing to make before closing. We can't make it without it. There are times in our lives that we get down on our face and things are happening and we don't understand why they're happening. We don't understand where God's leading us. We don't know what's going on. And we're saying, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. If it was just a beckoning call saying, I'm a Christian, it would be okay because we really wouldn't need anything but ourselves. But let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, you can and will not do it on our own because we need it. Oh, how I need thee every hour. One of my favorite hymns that I have grown to love over the years, How Great Thou Art. I can hear that song, Jerome, and it tugs my heart every time. And I get something different from it every time, according to my walk and where I'm at that very moment in my walk with Christ. We have got to understand that we not only need a Savior, but we got to have it. Amen?
Amen.
I ask you to stand with me this morning. Say, I love you. I thank you. Hey, it's Pastor Tom. I hope and pray this message touched your heart. And maybe even today you're asking yourself, do I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior? You know, oftentimes in life, we find ourselves in the mix of life. And life is hard. It's difficult. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and today you say, you know what? I want to do that. I want to accept Jesus. I want to know Him on a more intimate level. If that's you, my friend, today I want to pray with you. Simply just pray this. Father God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to send Jesus to come and dwell in my heart and to be the Lord of my life. I know that I'm in need of a Savior, and without Him, I would be nothing. Amen. My friend, today, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. You can email me at PastorTomCrandall@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I want to send you a Bible. I want to send you some information on how to continue to walk with Christ. I love you, my friend. All the angels in heaven are rejoicing with you. God bless you.